All right, if you have your Bibles tonight, we will begin in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This has been our, 1 Corinthians chapter 4. This has been our text for the last couple of messages, and we've been talking about and looking at and preaching on the subject of stewardship. Stewardship. And we've been at the beginning of the new year. It's always good to set our priorities and to begin to remind ourselves and our thinking and what we will be involved in. And so we have taken the thought of stewardship as presented in the Word of God and looked at it. If you remember, we began by defining stewardship. We said that stewardship is not just summed up in its definition by money, but really the summation of stewardship is the thought of ownership. Ownership. And we looked at that and we said that our society today, especially in America, is just tremendously in search and of ownership. And we're crazy about ownership. And we begin to judge a man's success. We begin to judge a family's success. We begin to judge our own success by the things we own or disown. And we looked at the fact of even how our own economy today is suffering out of that insatiable desire for ownership. And I'm not saying that God doesn't want us to own things. God does. But we need to understand that man is temporal. Man is entrusted with things. But God is the divine owner of all things. Most people think, well, God just wants my money. My friend, God doesn't want anything like as simple as that. God doesn't just want your money. God owns you and God desires to have you and your heart. And once God has those things, then God has your money. But Satan has so distracted us. And as soon as you mention stewardship in the most Christian circles, immediately we go to money and we go to money and we go to money. And so we miss out on the wonderful blessing and heritage of being a steward of all that God owns. And so we said stewardship, if 09 is going to be a great year, if 09 is going to be a successful year, if 09 is going to be a powerful year for the Lord, I had better understand that God is the owner of all things. And God's people said, all right. Now, why is God the owner? God's the owner because God is the Creator. God created all things. Colossians teaches us that all things were made by Jesus Christ. All things exist because of Jesus Christ. And all things are for the pleasure of Jesus Christ. And so you didn't create your business or start your business. God started that business. God owns that business. God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. God owns your very reins of your body, or that could even be the word veins and so on. And so God owns man, God owns wealth, God owns the animals, God owns the silver, God owns the gold, God owns everything. And as a believer, if I'm going to be involved in stewardship and practice stewardship and have it a wonderful blessing in my life, then I know that God is the owner of all things. Now, the great thing about that is God chose man to steward or to manage all that God owns. And we've been talking about that. God placed Adam in the garden, not so they could own a piece of real estate, but that they could have dominion over God's garden. A good example would be Joseph. Potiphar installed Joseph as a manager of Potiphar's house. Joseph didn't own the home. Joseph didn't have rights to the home. Joseph really couldn't do anything without a purchase order from Potiphar as far as he was entitled to him, or he was under him and he was responsible for him. But Joseph was the steward or the manager of all that Potiphar possessed. And so God is the owner of all things, and God allows you and I to steward or manage what he owns. Now, how that works is he entrusts us with little things, and then based on our faithfulness, then God allows us to be involved in steward larger things. And so if you're, we said this, if a man's not faithful to write a tithe check off of $20, then God's never going to entrust the man to write a tithe check off of $200. If I'm not faithful to be a good steward as an employee, then I'll never be an employer. See, God says if we're faithful in the small things, then he'll make us faithful in the many things. So God uses us. And when I've been born again, God takes me, and now God invests with me in my charge a portion of all that he owns, and I'm to steward that portion. So God is the owner of all things. I'm the manager. And then we said one day there'll be an accounting, and we know this. And so one day I'm going to give an account to God for all of the homes I own. I'm going to give an account to God for all the vehicles I own. I'm going to give an account for all the investments I own or I have. I'm going to give an account for all that God has entrusted me with, and the books are going to be open, and God's going to look at my life. He's going to look at your life, and he's going to say, okay, I entrusted you with this, 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 and this. Where's my return? And you and I are going to be responsible to have taken what God has given to us and invested or used for the glory of God. Does that mean, preacher, that I got to give all the money and all my banks and all my cars and all my houses to the church? Yes. No, I'm just kidding. That doesn't mean that. But that means that somewhere I clear me a spot in my life, and I have a spot. And I not only take all that I've been entrusted with, and I not only take my own person like in Romans chapter 12 and put it on the altar, but I lay everything down for the glory of God. And I say, now, God, I own this home. I own this vehicle. I have this. You've entrusted me with this. Now, God, I want these to be used for your glory. See, if I approach the mindset of 09 that I own nothing, but I am responsible for what God owns, that sure makes direct, and that sure focuses me on my responsibility. Have you ever borrowed anything from anybody? Anybody ever borrowed anything? And you broke it while you had it. Or worse yet, you lost it while you had it. And so somebody entrusts you with something, you have the responsibility of using it and then returning it in its condition that it was in, or at least returning it, period. Sometimes I lose some things, but people entrust us with that. Same thought. God's entrusted you with what he has, and you do not own it. God owns it. God does. But I better see that I'm a steward of it. God wants a return, and I am responsible to make sure that it's used for the kingdom of God, and it has God's power and blessing, because one day I'm going to give an account. Do you believe that one day we will give an account? Say amen. All right. So, man, when I let go of ownership and I realize that I'm just borrowing what God's entrusted me with, boy, that brings a lot of responsibility. Then we talked last week, we went to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 1, and the Bible says, let a man so account of us, Paul said, as of the ministers of Christ, and here's our word, stewards or managers of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in a manager or steward, stewards is the Bible word there, means manager, that a man be found, say it, church, faithful, all right? That word faithful is the word trustworthy, okay? So we can go to the unprofitable steward and those that in the Bible, and the Lord Jesus gave us some examples of how a man who was the owner of things entrusted his possessions to the stewards, and some of those stewards were trustworthy, and some of those stewards were not trustworthy. And Paul is saying, church, husband, wife, employee, employer, business owner, or whoever we are, if we know the Lord, that we are to be trustworthy managers of what God has entrusted to us. We are to be found to be faithful. Well, preacher, what does that mean that we are required to be found to be faithful? How do I gauge trustworthiness? Well, we gauge that based on increase. We gauge that based on the glory of God. And so I ought to be able to see God using that which he's entrusted me for his glory, and I ought to see increase and fruit along those manners. And so we talked about that. We gave some key things about faithful stewards. Three good thoughts last week. You may remember this. We said, number one, that a faithful steward or a trustworthy steward is faithful in the little things. So important to be faithful in the little things. Do not neglect little things. Be faithful getting your, I almost said anatomy, part of our anatomy, but be faithful in getting ourselves out of bed and reading and praying. Being faithful in the little thing of bringing the tithe, bringing an offering. Be faithful in the little thing of obedience. Be faithful in the little areas of life. And if I'm faithful in those things, then God can enable me and entrust me with more. Do not despise, the Bible said, the day of small things. And so one of the great requirements of a trustworthy student is that here, a steward, is that he is faithful in little things. Life is made up of little things. We said, number two, that he's a good money manager. And I ended last week, last Sunday night, talking about the responsibility of Bible-believing, born-again children of God having our finances ordered properly. Now, I know that this is an uncomfortable subject, and I know that if we were to look into everybody's situation here, it may not be a pretty sight, but our finances as believers should not be in a mess. That doesn't mean that God doesn't challenge them, and it doesn't mean that we're all millionaires, but there means that there's order there. See, a faithful steward is one who knows how to manage money. And so as a believer, my money ought to be managed by God. My money ought to be in order, and I ought to have my finances there, and there ought to be faith there. There ought to be a spending plan. I tell everybody, you ought to have a spending plan. God's not the God of chaos. He is a God of order. And so we talked about that. Third, we said that a steward, not only is he faithful in little things, not only does he know how to manage money well, but that he understands that and he treats other people's stuff well. I forget how I worded that, but it was the fact that he understands that if he's going to be faithful as a big steward, he has to be faithful with things that other people own. For example, if I'm going to be a business owner, I better be a faithful business employee. If I want to have such and such, then I better not mistreat other people's things. And so I'm trying to get you to the mindset of stewardship, because if I can get you to the proper mindset of stewardship, then that old devil can't come in and say, well, all that preacher wants is money, or all that church wants is money, or all this. But if I understand that, man, God doesn't own my money. He owns everything about me. He owns everything that I am. And I am nothing more than a steward or a manager of what God has. That changes how I view what I'm entrusted with. Boy, that brings a responsibility. Tonight, and I'll never get all of these, so I'll probably finish this next Sunday night, but I want to give you some attitudes of a successful steward. And I want you to write these down. If you got a pen or a piece of paper, write them on the back of your bulletin, write them on an offering envelope, write them not in the hymn book or the pew Bible, please. I hope you refrain from doing that. All right. But I want to give you some things, and we're going to kind of bounce around the scripture tonight, but I want to give you some attitudes of a successful steward. Would you go to Matthew? Go to Matthew chapter number 22, Matthew 22, and look at verse number 37. Let's begin there. I want to begin with the motivation of a steward. What is the proper motivation of a steward? What kind of attitude should I have motivating me to be a successful steward? Pick up with verse number 37. Verse number 37, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as, say it church, as thyself. All right, so the first attitude I want you to understand tonight for a successful steward is the motivation in life for a successful steward is love for God and love for people. Love for God and love for people. And Brother Gibbs touched on this morning. He touched about having a heart to see others as God sees them, seeing souls as God sees souls, seeing those which are least of these and those which have need. But if I'm going to be a successful steward of all that God has entrusted me with, then I had better love my master. And God's people said, all right. Have you ever run into anybody who hates their boss? I sometimes people come to see me preach. I hate my boss. I hate my boss. And if you do not have a good relationship with your boss, or you work directly for the owner of a company, the guy who has issues with the owner is a lot different employee than the guy that loves his boss. See, everybody that works at Plantation Baptist Church, they love their boss. We have good ones here. I'm their boss. I hope they do anyway. All right. So there's difference laboring with the motivation of love. So if I think that God's unfair or God's unkind and God didn't entrust me with enough in life and God, my plight in life isn't good, and God, why couldn't I have been this or that or this or that? God, if I think you've been unfair or unjust in some way, and my thought process toward you is skewed in some manner in love, then I'm not appreciative of what God has entrusted me with. And there has never been a good steward who's not appreciative of what God's entrusted. See, if I don't appreciate what God has and I belittle that, then I won't be faithful to steward it, because I will think in my brain that I'm due more, should give me more. I'm better than this. I can do more than this. And how dare you, we used to use the word gyp me in this capacity. See, but if I love the Lord, then I am grateful and appreciative to be his steward. Do you love him? I hope you do. See, then if I love the Lord, I love people. And if I'm going to be a good steward for God, then my motivation not only be love for God, but Jesus said, you better love people. You better know how to give to people. You better see in people's needs. You better have compassion for people. All right. So the first attitude of a successful steward, number one, is that they love God and they love people. And if I'm going to be successful, I better develop a love for the Lord and a love for people. Number two, go to, if you would, Luke chapter 6. Let me give you what the Bible says over here. In Luke chapter 6, verse number 38. All right, attitude of a successful steward. The first is our motivation, and it's our love for God and our love for people, and that will help me to appreciate what God has entrusted me with, have vision as to what I'm to do and how I'm to line myself up. But not only that, an attitude for a successful steward is found in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, very familiar. Give, give. Let's just stop with give. You see, a successful steward, they live to give. They live to give. They realize that giving is what living is all about. My friends, I'm telling you that if I'm going to be successful in my stewardship, I got to live to give. Have you ever had the opportunity to spend somebody else's money? Anybody ever here take business trips? Anybody ever go on a business trip? Anybody? Is anybody there? Anybody? Are you alive? Say amen. All right. Are you sleepy tonight? Yes, you are. All of you, your heads are going like this, and I'm thinking you're agreeing with me, and then slobber's going down your chin. We're having some problems. The average man goes on a business trip, and he has an expense account, and he always eats better than when he comes home. If I've had an opportunity to spend somebody else's money, it's always a joy. And so if you give me a gift card, or you're given a gift card, and we go and we have this money, we go and we spend the money. It's fun to spend other people's money. At least I think my wife thinks that, because she giggles the whole time she spends my money. But it's fun to spend other people's money. If I'm going to be a successful steward, I need to see that I'm not possessing my own money. I possess God's money, and it is fun to give God's money. Amen or oh me. And if you have the practice of giving, you know that successful stewards live to give. And what a great, great blessing that it is. By the way, I don't know where I can put my finger on that verse or not, but the Bible talks about the reason you have a job is to give. And so I live to give. I just want to ask you a question. When's the last time you gave something and forget Christmas? When's the last time you gave anything? Now, I'm not talking about the offering. I mean, when's the last time you saw a need and gave to that need? I'm going to let you think about that a moment. When's the last time you gave a gift? When's the last time you gave a note? When's the last time you gave money? When's the last time you gave time? You see, we're so busy, and we're so busy, and we're always wanting to be entrusted with more, and trust me with more, and trust me with more, and God says, no, you're damned up. Well, what do you mean I'm damned up? Well, I gave you so much, and you built a dam right there. You need to outgo some of that money, or some of that time, or some of that. Give some away. I can't give you anymore. You're full. Well, I want more. No, give some more. And so giving releases. Pastor, no, it doesn't. Well, let's read the rest of verse number 38. Give, and it shall be finish it. Given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. All right, so not only do we live to give, we realize that in giving, it's the way that it undams or breaks the dam in my line, and then God is able to give me more. So God's not going to just entrust us so we can hoard, or we can build big bank accounts, or build big security accounts. Well, man, I got this money in the savings, and so I'm okay. No. It's not your money. And I promise you there's a need that will come about that could be $100 more than what you have. So you are a steward of what God has. And so find a way to give that which God has entrusted you with. And not only will men give unto you, but God will entrust you with more. I challenge you this. If you cannot come up with a time you gave, find some way to give this week. All right. So the successful steward, our motivation is our love for God and our love for people. They live to give. By the way, let me show you this. Matthew chapter 5. Go over here to Matthew chapter 5 and look at verse number 41. Here's an attitude of a successful steward. And I love this. And we'll just pull this verse out and use it for a moment. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 41, when they're talking there, they say that... verse 38 says, ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law, take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. All right, so not only do we have a love for God and people, not only do we live to give, but successful stewards are second milers. They're second milers. What does that mean? That means we just don't do what we need to get by. There's an extra effort there. There's a putting forth. There's a sacrifice in that capacity. And so I hope and pray that you know that. All right, so fourthly, not only do we have a love for God and love for people, not only do we live to give, not only are we second milers, but go to Proverbs chapter number 11. I want to give you this verse. It's a good verse. Proverbs chapter number 11, and pick up with verse number 25. Proverbs 11, verse 25. Some of you are not going to like this verse, but let me explain it and then you'll understand. All right? 11:25 says, the liberal soul shall be made fat. Now, preacher, I don't want to be any fatter than I am right now. That's not what it's talking about, okay? The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. What's he talking about here? Well, an attitude of a successful steward is that I'm generous. I have a generosity about me. He says here that the liberal soul shall be made fat. I hope you're generous. I really do. I run across this sometimes where people just want to do the letter of the law, or we just want to give enough. But I'm telling you, if you really want God's blessing and you really want 09 to be different and you really want to have an attitude of successful stewardship, be generous in spirit. Let me show you how this ties together. Who owns everything? God owns everything. All right, now help me preach my message, because I'm doing a horrible job, obviously. If God owns everything, why what would prohibit me from being generous? What prohibits me from being generous? If I believe that God owns everything, then why wouldn't a man be generous? What keeps us from being generous? Anybody got a response? Selfishness. Selfishness. See, if it comes back to who owns everything, well, you know, bless God, if this is my money here, I'll give you a little bit. I'll give you a little bit. But if this is God's money, and I know that God is looking to entrust me with more, and God has presented this need, then in recognition of God's ownership, then generosity should just flow. Because I know this, there's no greater generous person in the world than Jesus Christ. And so if a person's not generous, a person's not doesn't have biblical understanding of stewardship. They don't have biblical understanding of ownership. They still think, well, I own it all and I can't afford to be generous, so I'm just gonna give this. Or better yet, I'm just gonna give you kind of what you deserve and I'm gonna keep the rest over here. Well, my friend, then you go ahead and keep the rest, but God's not gonna bless that mentality, for God loves a cheerful giver. The word cheerful is the word hilarious. And so a successful steward learns how to be generous in what we're doing. The liberal soul shall be made fat. All right, one more now and we'll finish up. Go to Matthew chapter 19, verse number 26. Matthew chapter 19, verse number 26, and we'll put these and then we'll give the rest next week. All right, Pastor, what are these attitudes of successful stewardship? Number one, I have a love for God and a love for people. If I do not have a love for God, then I will think that God's cheated me. I will think that God's mistreated me. I will think that God's been stingy for me. And if I don't have a love for God, I won't have a love for people. So I must have a love for God. I live to give. Stewards are givers. They realize that giving is what life is all about. They look out opportunities to give, always looking for opportunities to give. They're second milers. They're generous with God's resources. They understand that God is the owner, and so we're not giving what we own, we're giving what God owns, and in giving what God owns, there's never a reason to be stingy when it comes to God, because God owns the cattle on thousand hills, all right? Say, lastly, they're possibility thinkers. Stewards are positive people. They understand that with God, all things are possible. Look at Matthew chapter 19 and verse number 26. And then Jesus was presented with this about who can be saved. Jesus beheld them and he said unto them, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Now, as a steward, the word steward means what? What does it mean? Manager. I manage what God has. I see God as the owner of all things, and I am entrusted with a portion of that. And so, as entrusted with just a portion of that, and by the way, your portion is pretty big. Let's think about your portion. You begin to think about all that God has entrusted you with, knowing that God owns the cattle on a thousand hills, knowing that he owns the wealth in every mind, knowing that he owns everybody ever created, knowing that he holds the universes together, knowing that he's all-powerful, omniscient, omnipresent God, knowing that all things consist by him, all things are created by him, knowing that everything is held together. So if I understand that I'm managing that for that kind of master, then I ought to always have a positive outlook as to the possibility of God. And so as I'm a steward, I there's nothing I'm afraid of. Well, preacher, man, did you see that stock market? I thought for sure it was going to go to 9,000, but it went all the way down to 8,000. Pastor, they said our home is going to go down even further. Pastor, I lost my job. Pastor, this is the situation. And if we begin to just focus on that, then we forget about that our God is the God of impossibility. And so instead of being about what God has called us in stewarding his resources, if I have my eye on all of that, then I just begin to think, okay, 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 I don't want to go down, so I better save for a rainy day. I better collect all I got. And so I get it all, and I get it all, and I get it all. And now this is all mine, and if everything goes down, I got my little portion. And so then I dam up the flow because I no longer am a manager. Now I'm trying to be part owner in the company, and I am not capable of being part owner. And so the way that I get cared for and the way that people are blessed is I begin to manage and steward what God has. And so I don't fall into the box of caring for myself. I don't fall into the box of impossibility, for I serve the God who is with him that all things are possible. And God's people said, all right. So now as I look at 09, man, I don't know about you, but that put a lot of responsibility on me. I am a manager for God. God, you've entrusted me with what you own. I am entrusted with what God owns. And then I'm responsible to use that. Well, you see, preacher, that's a lot of responsibility. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. That's why we have the Word of God that leads us in that capacity. Please, I beg you, you want a thrilling year? You want a year of impossibility? You want a year of God answering your prayer? You want a year of God enlarging you? Learn how to steward what God has entrusted you with. It's the greatest way to live that there possibly can be. All right, let's pray, and I'll let you go. Heavenly Father, God, we really can have a tremendous impact for the cause of Christ. God, if we would have proper understanding that we are not owners, we are stewards. What a humbling thought. What a humbling thought. I am a steward and a manager of your resources. Materialism has literally slit the throat of Christianity. It literally has robbed us of our power, has robbed us of our sacrifice, it's robbed us of our vision, and it has literally left the church in America void. I don't want that to be that way in this church. It's not that way in this church, but we need to be reminded. There are enough people in this room tonight that if we would receive the understanding that we are stewards of all you've entrusted us to, God, we could turn this city, this county, and this South Florida upside down for the cause of Christ. And so, God, teach us, convict us. God, open our eyes. And then provide for us opportunity to steward what you've entrusted us. And I pray that for my own heart, my own soul, for my own home, my own family. God, you'd lead me to steward what you've done. And so I thank you for all that we've had today. God, I left this morning wanting to be a better Christian. I left today wanting to have the mind of God. I left today thinking the whole world may go to hell, and it may get bad, but I'm sure I'm glad I know Jesus Christ. So now that I know you, I want to be a steward for you. And so help us, God, to do that. Thank you for our day today. Thank you for the people. Strengthen us, God. Give us a good night of rest. God, give us a sweet sleep. I pray tonight we rest like we've never rested, ready to go tomorrow. Some have the day off, some have to work, and we celebrate that day. God, I just pray that you would allow our spirits to be renewed and refreshed and to be encouraged in our God. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.